Not letting my silence deter him, Mr. Press leaned into my personal space. His large hand vanished into his trouser pocket, followed by the delicate clink of coins. Catching my eye, he shifted his muscular bulk, depositing a single American penny by my wrist. My eyes flew to Master A. Just as I hadn't been allowed at the table for 2 years, I hadn't handled currency or wealth of any kind. Master A placed his knife and fork on either side of his plate with eerie calmness.
Mr. Prest, can I ask why the fuck you're giving money to my slave?
Mr. Prest never tore his eyes from mine.
That's between Pimlico and me.
My heart sank with a 2-ton rusty anchor. Couldn't he see he'd just ensured my normal beating would be 10 times worse? He'd undermined Master A, and no one should ever, ever do that. I fought terror and unhappiness as I kept my gaze locked on the table. However, it didn't stop me noticing Master A from the corner of my eye. An evil smile crooked his lips, promising many more nights where I'd go hungry. His 3 friends smirked, understanding yet another punishment would be extracted, and they were invited to partake. Damn you, Mr. Prest. Swallowing hard, I didn't give myself permission to look up. But when Mr. Prest pushed the penny closer, my eyes flitted to his. I froze. The thickest, longest eyelashes I'd ever seen framed his black pupils. So dense and opaque, they looked like fur. It wasn't fair that a man had such bewitching eyes. It was doubly unfair he'd entered my harsh existence and made it so much worse. I would remember him always. He would forget me tomorrow. Why did I sit next to him? I should have sat at Master A's feet. This was my fault. Stupid. So stupid. Lowering his heady voice, Mr. Prest whispered,
"A penny for your thoughts, girl."
The old-fashioned phrase echoed in my chest. He wanted to pay for my muted replies. He valued my responses enough to bribe me. Why? Master A had never offered me kindness to chat. He'd only punished and reinforced my desire to remain quiet. But this man, he was treacherous. Taking a deep breath, I nudged the penny back to him with my pinky. The urge to shake my head crept over me. Non-verbal was almost as bad as audible. I fought the urge, gathering my final mouthful of noodles and doing my best not to hyperventilate as Mr. Prest forced the penny toward me. He didn't say the phrase again. He didn't need to. I heard it loudly.
"A penny for your thoughts. Fucking speak."
Master A slammed the table with his palm, making Tony, Daryl, and Monty jump. But not Mr. Prest. He moved like the slickness of oil on water, cocking an eyebrow at his host.
"Yes?"
Master A bared his teeth, his hand fisted around his knife.
"I'm done with whatever games you're playing. Forget about her. She's nothing. Let's talk business."
Stabbing the air with his food-soiled blade, he yelled,
"Pim, clear the fucking table. You're done. Get out of my sight."
Immediately, I shot to my feet. Luckily, I'd wolfed down my dinner and didn't mourn the lack of time to finish. My empty plate glowed with reminders that my belly was full, but I hadn't earned it without pain. Already, my middle cramped with indigestion from eating such rich meat, joining the sympathy of all the other kicks and punches I'd endured. Keeping my eyes down, I dutifully collected the empty containers and plucked the paper bags under my arms. Mr. Press' blazer kept getting in the way, but until he stole it from me, I wouldn't take it off. It was mine, if only for a little while. Mr. Press watched me as I took the packaging to the kitchen, rinsed and placed them in the recycling bin. Returning, I did my best to stay out of reach of the men's probing hands as I collected soiled plates. Mr. Prest glowered as Monty slapped my ass and Daryl gathered strands of my hair to sniff dramatically. Master A didn't notice his guest vibrating with rage, and I wouldn't tell him. I'd become invisible again as I did my servantly duties. Master A leaned back in his chair.
"So, we've broken bread together. Let's get down to it."
Mr. Prest placed his hands on the table, his finger steepled with poise and power.
Before we do, I have conditions.
What conditions?
I don't discuss details in front of others.
Cocking his chin at the three rapists, he growled.
I want them gone.
Daryl sniffed.
Hey, loser, we're here for our buddy. We've got his back.
Yeah, no us equals no deal.
Monty crossed his arms. I carried my embrace of dirtiness to the kitchen as Mr. Press stood so fast his chair screeched against the tiles.
Understood.
Stalking from the table, he passed me. His eyes sparked with black violence, glittering harder as he looked me up and down.
Keep the jacket.
My mouth fell open as he stormed toward the exit. I wanted to scream that he couldn't go. I wouldn't let him. With him here, I didn't have to fear Master A nearly as much. I hadn't had enough time to figure out if I could use him for my benefit. Could he help me? Free me? Don't go. Master A kept him from vanishing. Launching from the table, he snapped his fingers.
You lot out.
Chasing after Mr. Prest, he caught him as he reached the front door.
Don't be like that, Elder. You win. No company. Just you and me.
Mr. Prest paused with his hand on the doorknob. His shoulders remained tight and bunched. I didn't know if he'd accept Master A's offer or just disappear. I took a gulp of air, the tower of crockery in my arms clinking together. Finally, Mr. Prest turned around, his hands balling by his sides.
Don't make me remind you about using my first name, Ulrich. Last fucking warning. As for our discussion, I want you, me, and her.
His smoldering gaze locked onto mine. Oh no. No, no, no. I didn't want to be privy to their chat. I didn't want Master A to have any more reason to think I valued myself too highly. Depositing the plates in the sink, I bent over in an awkward bow, backing out of the room toward the corridor and the staircase. Please let me get there before he stops me. Then I could bolt upstairs and write to no one, and plug my ears so I never had to know what illegal things Master A was up to. But of course, that didn't work in my favor. Nothing ever did. Mr. Prest was the one to stop me.
Stay, girl, and take your penny. You might not give up your thoughts for so cheap, but you're not leaving until I say so.
My gaze flickered to Master A's, looking for permission. Mr. Prest might be the top hunter in this pack of animals, but he wasn't the one who'd bought me. He wasn't the one I had to live with after he'd gone. Master A clenched his teeth, suffering a few goodbye slaps of his friends as they donned removed clothing and let themselves out. Anger permeated him, swirling like a toxic smog. Raking a hand through blonde hair, he grunted.
Fuck, all right, stay, Pimlico. Get the shot glasses and bourbon. Mr. Prest and I have something to discuss. Elder, I fucking hated the taste of bourbon. I preferred sake or gin or even the occasional absinthe. I wasn't a big drinker. I had my reasons, and hadn't touched a drop in almost a year. But a man like Ulrich expected a deal to be done over alcohol, because he was still a bloody Neanderthal. I would indulge him on this one topic, seeing as I'd won every other round. The slave girl hadn't sat down, flitting around like a fucking hummingbird, gathering shot glasses, straightening white cushions, and placing the dishes in the dishwasher. Ulrich didn't seem to care. She wasn't just his sex slave, but house servant too. He was barely aware of her anymore, happy to let her starve and waste away to nothing. He deserved something for that, something painful. Over the next few days, I'd get creative and figure out an apt punishment. The tap ran in the kitchen, heralding my eyes as the girl sprayed herself accidentally with water. Fuck. My lips curled in disgust. The sleeves of my jacket were sodden as she rinsed knives and forks before adding them to the dishwasher. Nursing my shot of bourbon, I snapped. Enough, girl. Sit. Ulrich shifted on the opposite couch. He'd already tossed back one shot and sniffed his second. If he grew drunk during this discussion,
all the better for me. The terms would be heavy in my favor, and the clauses I normally snuck into the paperwork, hoping they weren't noticed, would go by unseen. Fucking idiot. I had things to say, but I wouldn't start until the girl sat down and stopped fidgeting. I didn't like distractions, and she was a damn distraction. Something clattered behind me before Ulrich bellowed, "For fuck's sake, Pimlico, sit your ass down!" Immediately, she darted into the lounge and kneeled on the white carpet by the coffee table, resuming the same bowed position she'd been in before I'd invited her to eat. She didn't touch the furniture, almost as if she wasn't permitted, like a bad dog that had been slapped too many times for jumping on prized settees. The more I found out about this bastard, the more I despised him. Ignoring Pimlico as she huddled on the floor, Ulrich toasted me with his shot.
"To being alone and able to discuss our new venture."
Not so fast. I thought I could drink this shit, but I couldn't. Why the fuck am I here again? From the moment I'd met this sleazebag, I had the overwhelming urge to wash whenever he looked at me. The way he watched me, the way he laughed and spoke as if I couldn't hear his stinking secrets. But I could. And the longer I was in his company, the less I wanted him to breathe. Money was money. Business was business. But when instinct screamed to ignore the deal and walk, I listened. Only, I didn't want to go. Not yet. Because of her. Pinching the brow of my nose, I glared at the windows behind Ulrich, where presumably a garden rested in the night. The second I'd walked into this psychopath's house, I'd been fascinated by her. Not because I could see her tits and the shadows between her legs, but because of the way she watched me. She saw everything. The world had two types of people. The first were the takers. They only noticed those who could help them, offering friendship for false reasons, their egos preventing improvement of their superficial interest. The second were the givers, those who knew they were being taken advantage of but couldn't stop it. They'd give and give until they had nothing left. But by giving, they saw things, watching silently in the shadows. This girl was a giver. She was soundless judgment, taking everything in while her master and his acquaintances pretended she didn't exist. She was strong inside, but she hadn't found her freedom despite begging for it, which made her lacking. And I didn't do lacking. So fucking forget her, finish this, and leave. Leaning forward, I deposited the crystal glass on the coffee table, lacing my fingers between my legs. "Do you have the funds?" Ulrich smirked. "Seriously? You're gonna ask me that? Even after your invasive background checks?" Huh. He'd found out about that. That was interesting, and earned a sliver of my respect. My hacking skills weren't as good as some, but normally I could infiltrate, extract, and patch up my entry without notice. He huffed. "Look, are we gonna do business or what?" "Perhaps." He threw himself onto the soft leather of the couch. "Fuck, I was told you were exhausting. I should have believed them." Tossing back his drink, he clicked his fingers for Pimlico to refill it. She did so without a peep or eye flicker. I'd been around others who refused to talk. Taking a vow of silence wasn't all that unusual in my profession. Or rather, ex-profession. But it didn't ease my mind at all. Mainly because I wasn't a fucking idiot like Ulrich. His slave girl obeyed him, but she hated him with the death of a thousand shadows. And where I came from, that was not a good death. If my nickname were Kaito for Phantom Thief, hers would be Mokusatsu, kill with silence. She absorbed everything, just waiting for her opportunity to end his life. Good luck to her. In the brief interaction I'd had with them, she deserved to win over this overly pampered rich dick. She just had to notice her power and commit. It's not exhausting to be thorough. I fisted my fingers, holding back my wrath. It's exhausting to enter into business with untrustworthy people. Ulrich frowned. Look, you knew the deal when you got here. You were highly recommended. Don't make me regret inviting you into my home. I laughed. This asshole thought he was better than me, that he could win. Wrong. Ignoring him, I once again looked at the slave on the floor. I hated the way she kept drawing me to her. She wasn't acting. She truly was fighting to survive. But the humming vibration of her determined strength was a drug to me. Patting the couch, I murmured, "Sit here, girl." Her shoulders rolled as she bowed deeper into the carpet. Her tattered hair shivered as she glanced at her master. Ulrich tried to slaughter me with his eyes. If I were any other person from any other background, I might have second-guessed my decision to play with his possessions. But he did say I could share, and I wasn't afraid of him. I was never afraid of pretenders. Silence fell, clashing with temper from Ulrich, terror from Pimlico, and authority from me. Guess who fucking won? Ulrich threw back his third bourbon. Go to him, Pim. Instantly, the girl levered herself from her knees and scurried to my side. My heart pounded as she perched like a frail bird on the stark white leather, her thighs bunched, ready to fly away if Ulrich changed his mind. Judging by the way she kept her body facing him, I guessed he changed his mind a lot, either to spite or hurt her. Peering at my ruined jacket with its dripping wet cuffs and slouchy way it hung off her shoulders, I ordered, "Give her permission to obey me without having to go through you." I glanced up, catching Ulrich's eye with the command. Do it. What the fuck was I doing? This girl didn't matter. I ran the risk of destroying this business deal. Then again, did I care? I paused, taking stock of what it would mean if I deliberately sabotaged this transaction. Sure, I'd be out of pocket by millions, but I had more than I could count, and it wasn't about the money. Yes, I'd lose the notoriety I'd done my best to earn, finally cracking open the realm where up till now I'd been denied. But I didn't need fucking Ulrich to open doors for me. I could kick them down on my own damn accord. No, this girl interested me more than Ulrich ever could. She was worth the price tag if it all fell to shit. Ulrich glowered at his slave before giving me a curt nod. He'd disliked me before. Now he hated me. I smiled coldly. You did say I could share. The girl shivered, her body sending minor ripples along the couch. I hadn't touched her yet, but every nerve ending shot to intensity. Pimlico. Ulrich sat forward, his hand clutched white tight around his glass. Obey Mr. Prest as you obey me. Got it? Do whatever he wants without question. I fought the thrill running down my spine. Pimlico glanced at me before dropping her gaze to the floor. She didn't nod or give any indication of agreement, but I knew she'd heard, evaluated, and accepted the new terms. The fact she didn't talk fueled my interest, not because I wanted her silent secrets, but because she challenged me to do what my teacher had taught a decade ago. Listen with your entire body, not just your ears. Watch with your entire being, not just your eyes. And judge with your entire soul, not just shallow perception. I hadn't forgotten that lesson. I wasn't a person to educate and then waste that education by letting such valuable knowledge fade. But she was a good refresher. I wanted to be alone with her, to ask her questions that she wouldn't answer, but I would earn her reply anyway. I wanted to steal her, so my own disciplinary hand delivered her bruises, not this lying asshole's. Testing her obedience, I patted my thigh. Come closer. For a second, she hesitated. Her lips pursed, but her hand crept slowly outward, pulling herself forward. She didn't come as near as I wanted. Her leg still created a chasm between us, but I inhaled, doing my best to smell her. She smelled of nothing. No, that wasn't true. She smelled of fucking depression. Wanting to change her opinion of me, to kiddingly prove I wasn't such a bad guy, I rested my hand on her thigh. She jolted but stayed seated, even though her eyes narrowed with fury. Her skin was ice beneath my touch. Her white skirt offered no thermal properties. Ulrich never took his livid glare off me as I stroked her with a gentleness I doubted she'd had in years. Instead of relaxing, she only stiffened further. If I were a kind man, I would have removed my hand and allowed her to return to her crouch on the floor, where she obviously felt some semblance of safety. But I wasn't a nice man. I was a tormentor, a killer, a thief. And I wanted to steal her courage, drop by fucking drop.
Pimlico. Words and voices and business. How long did I sit there, chained by invisible tethers to a man I had to obey, just as absolute as my master? My eyelids drooped as jargon and empty promises flew around the room. I had no idea what arrangement Master A entered with Mr. Prest, but whatever it was, it held a price tag of over $30 million and came with uttered phrases such as undetectable, irrefutable, and ironclad in both speed and delivery. It'd been so long since I'd listened to the ebb and flow of normal conversation that it lulled me into a semi-relaxed state. I wasn't the center of attention, and a barked command between these two men with their issue, not mine. Suddenly, I rubbed my knees where constant bruises from Neely marred my flesh. The white skirt irritated me, as it clung tight while my ribs and belly ached from their earlier beating. As nice as this reprieve was, no matter how grateful I was to be sitting on a settee after years of groveling, it didn't come without consequences. I'll be shared tonight. Just like most nights. Mr. Prest had been given carte blanche to control me, which Tony, Daryl, and Monty were never given. He could ask me to do anything, and I'd have to obey. And once I'd obeyed, Master A would hurt me because he hated others taking liberties he hadn't given. I'd seen it firsthand when Tony went too far and took something from me he wasn't supposed to take. He hadn't returned for a fortnight because of the wounds Master A had inflicted. Whoever Mr. Prest was, he must have something of priceless importance for Master A to tolerate me, even sitting on his furniture, let alone permitted to listen to such incomprehensible lingo. Master A sipped another shot.
And you'll install top-of-the-line ghost deflectors? As per your request, yes. And the weaponry will be far superior to what they'll use in retaliation?
Mr. Prest stiffened.
Do you doubt my work ethic and the contract? No, but it is a lot of money and a sensitive arrangement. As are all my transactions. Utmost discretion is required from both parties, not just me.
Mr. Prest raised his eyebrow, disregarding Master A's pompous accusation.
Do I have your oath that you'll never mention my name or the origins of the weaponry on board upon delivery of the vessel?
Huh? The sleepiness I'd been cursed with snapped into awareness. A crackle of adrenaline flooded my nervous system. What were they discussing? Vessels and weapons? What was this? Master A had said something about Mr. Prest being at sea for a few months and in need of female companionship. Was he in the Navy, selling state secrets and espionage? Master A nodded.
Of course, but only if the torpedoes aren't detectable by radar. With increasing technology these days, it's not completely guaranteed. And you're sure you can't get a nuclear warhead? I'll pay extra. I told you I don't deal in those. If you want them, it won't be through me.
Mr. Press's voice dropped to a growl.
but you're already aware of those terms.
His eyes flicker to mine, their endless depths sucking light and life from me.
What do you think, Pimlico? Want to be locked on a boat rather than in a mansion? Your master here seems to be going to war.
A boat? War? What the hell is he talking about? I couldn't visualize such a thing. An image of a dinghy with oars for propulsion, and wooden sides to prevent drowning came to mind. Why would anyone want to trade a house for that? Gritting my teeth, I looked over Mr. Press's shoulder, ignoring the question. I didn't care that I didn't understand. What I'd cared about was he'd tried to trip me into replying. It won't work. I'd had years of practice. He chuckled.
Don't worry. I'm sure he won't take you to war.
His hand landed possessively on my thigh.
And if he did, at least you might find what you're looking for.
I froze. What? What am I looking for? How would you know what I need? Even as my question solidified, I doubted my conviction. I survived in this world with tiny goals that kept me strong. I took pleasure from avoiding a broken arm by doing tasks before being asked. I was awarded extra hours of sleep or hard-won dinners when I successfully hid my hate. I did all that because I needed something to reward myself with. If I didn't, whispers of ending it were never far away. If I focused on small things, I could ignore the tug of freedom. But if I didn't, death. It was a calculated, vindictive seducer, promising an end to pain and suffering. I'd listened once and would have obeyed its commands if the knives hadn't disappeared. I thought my momentary weakness was over. I lied. The murmurs of taking my own life hid in the panic attacks that lay waiting to pounce when my strength wavered. I was no longer completely whole. Parts of me had become an enemy, wanting me to die rather than survive. He sniffed suicide on me. He'd done up the second he laid eyes on me. The same way I tasted he was more than a businessman and aristocratic bastard. He was a killer, and a good one, seen as he was here with us and not caught. Mr. Press's fingers drifted down my thigh and dug into my knee, just like Master A's had on the plane ride here. Unlike before, when that little threat had freaked me out, it was nothing compared to what I'd endured. I was trained in touches like those. I didn't joke as Mr. Press squeezed and relaxed, palpitating my joint, forcing my body to pay attention. However, as my muscles locked for abuse and my heart scurried with nervousness, his touch switched from testing to calming. His breathing turned shallow as he dropped his gaze to where our two bodies met.
I'm not going to hurt you.
Please. As if I haven't heard that one before. I wanted to roll my eyes at his empty promise, but I didn't dare. Who knew what Master A would do? He might carve out my eyeballs with a spoon if I showed any more rebellion. Master A cleared his throat, his focus riveted on where Mr. Prest touched me. He vibrated with loathing and jealousy, even though he was the one who offered me up to sweeten whatever deal they'd concocted.
Do you get to experience things like fresh air and new places, Pim?
Mr. Press never stopped stroking. His finger slowly left my knee, going slightly higher with each stroke. Just like my taste buds came alive after a few mouthfuls of delicious food, so too did my skin as I received gentle caresses for the first time in so long. My flesh turned itchy and hot, straining with sensation for more. Traitor. I swallowed hard, forcing my gaze to go hazy and not focus on the man touching me, my master, or the things I would be made to do in my future.
She's not a damn dog, Elder.
Master A chuckled.
I don't clip on a leash and take her for a walk to the fucking park. She's a whore. This is her home. She doesn't need to go anywhere.
Yes. Yes, I do. I need to go somewhere. Far away from you, far away from this cage. Mr. Press's fingernails replaced his soft caress, branding my thigh.
Third slip, Mr. Osbjorn. One more and this fucking deal is off. I don't care if production is arranged and the contracts are drawn up.
His hand left my skin, flying up in a wedge of severity to point at Master A.
Use my first name once more, and you'll never speak again. Got it?
I shivered as the same hand that vibrated with violence fell back onto my body. One moment vicious and resolute with cruelty, the next serene and tranquilizing. Master A poured himself another bourbon and slammed it down. His brittle hatred moved like glass shards in his limbs as he forced himself to remain calm. Mr. Press didn't care. His full attention fell to me again, inching closer, pressing his knee against mine. I sucked in a breath as his head tilted toward my ear, his heady incense and spice aftershave whipping up my nose like a forest fire. It blazed through my lungs and over my tongue, making me inhale and taste him all at once.
Tell me, Pimlico, do you like being touched gently, or are you used to much rougher handling?
His palm splayed over my thigh, gripping hard enough for me to flinch. Permanent bruises flared. I held my breath, willing pain receptors to quiet and numbness to take over. I'd enlisted that trick multiple times. Mr. Prest was cruel and harsh and dominant, but beneath the darkness, he couldn't fully erase the strangeness lurking deep inside him. I didn't know if it was a bad strange or good, but he was different from Master A. That oddity called to me. Master A flung himself back into the couch, eyeing us with disdain.
I don't know why you're bothering. She doesn't talk. Hit her, hurt her, whisper, or woo her. It's all the fucking same.
Mr. Prest brushed his nose against my earlobe, murmuring so Master A couldn't hear.
You may not use your voice, Silent One, but you speak all the same.
The tip of his tongue ran over the highly sensitive flesh from my ear to the start of my jaw.
Want to know what you've told me already?
His hand trailed higher up my leg, creeping to the place where I'd been hurt the most. I'd gone my teenage years with an occasional fumble from an eager boy who'd earned my interest to get close enough to touch. And then I'd entered womanhood with a brutal rape that forever tarnished sex. Everything about men and women coupling was sick and filthy and wrong. No part of me, under any circumstance, wanted to be touched there. Not by Mr. Prest, not by Master A, and certainly not by any of his dastardly friends. I hated him for taking liberties. I didn't want my skin to be alive. I didn't want my senses to be alive. I wanted to be numb, aloof. And the audacity of Mr. Prest to make me notice things again, for my heart to beat and my taste buds to fire. It wasn't fair. But at least my body was as repulsed by him as any other man. I didn't feel a quickening in my belly. My pussy didn't clench. My blood didn't heat. My spirit might hold on, refusing to break, but Master A had broken my body. Sex was revolting. Sex was sickening. Sex was not something I would ever grow to love. I was sure of it. It didn't stop Mr. Prest from brushing his fingertip between my legs. His voice stayed heavy and low.
I'm used to silence, Silent One, but you're not very good at hiding your thoughts from your eyes.
Pulling away, he brushed my chin with his knuckles.
Want me to prove it? I know that you hate me touching you, and you can't stop the loathing inside you.
His eyes flickered to Master A as his head bowed close again. He gave the impression that we whispered secrets to each other.
He doesn't see you like I do. He doesn't hear you like I do.
Master A shot upright, clearly ready for this meeting to be over.
I think we've covered the finer details. The rest can be done when you drop the contact off for final signature.
Mr. Prest understood the underlying message. Leave. Leaning away from me, he grinned.
Want your slave back so soon?
He patted my leg, antagonizing him.
I don't think you understand the concept of sharing, Ulrich.
I bristled. I'm not some toy to borrow. I wasn't a novelty or tatty doll to play with on a whim, then dismember when boredom replaced fascination. I was in two minds. Mr. Prest had kept my heart catapulting like some renegade siege with his gentle touches and soft commands. I feared him more than I feared Master A. I wanted him gone. Immediately. But a large part of me wanted to continue being petted, because it'd been so long since anyone had. I wanted him to free me. However, I never got what I wanted. Master A inched closer, glowering at Mr. Prest's hand on my thigh.
Do you like his touch better than mine, Pim?
His voice was a hazardous rumble.
I'd advise you to say you prefer me over this stranger.
He stared. I stared. No reply. He didn't deserve to know, even if I did want to speak. I would never prefer him. I wanted to bury his ashes and get every dog in the neighborhood to piss on his grave. In that respect, yes, I vastly preferred Mr. Prest's touch, even if he stole rather than requested. Master A's temper swirled as silence lingered.
There's been enough sharing for one night. Time to remember who your real master is. What do you think of that, my sweet Pim?
Real master. That meant kicks and whips and chains. I bowed my head, keeping my face covered. You told me to obey him. Anger churned in my chest, because I knew no matter what happened in their business agreement, I would be in a world of pain the moment the door closed on Mr. Prest. Wobbling a little from too many shots of bourbon, Master A stomped from the lounge toward the front foyer. My heart clicked start on a stopwatch, mourning the swiftly ticking seconds before I was hurt again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Please don't let me endure any more. Master A bellowed.
Leave, Mr. Prest. Our business is over. Pim and I need to have a little chat.
Glaring over his shoulder, he waited none too subtly to kick Mr. Prest out, all while his gaze hammered knives into my chest. Mr. Prest's fingers tightened on my leg, digging perfectly trimmed nails into my skirt. He held the pressure for a second too long, holding his breath. I daren't look up, even though I knew he wanted me to. He'd yanked more answers from me without speaking than Master A had managed in 2 years. We had an unspoken understanding between us, a chemistry recognizing our connecting similarities. What made us notice each other? Why did I sense as if I could know him? I hate that you can see my secrets, but in return, I see some of yours. His talk of business and weapons weren't who he was at heart. Such talk was cobwebs and prisms, keeping the truth hidden. How I knew that, I didn't know. How he could read me, I didn't understand. And it terrified me as much as it intrigued me.
Return to your master, Silent One. I hope to see you again.
You can't go. He released me as he stood. With half a smile, he moved sleek and sedately toward the exit, where Master A paced with his arms crossed. I'd never seen him so angry with another man for touching me.
Come here, Pim.
Master A snapped his fingers, tugging the invisible cord around my throat. Instantly, I stood on creaking bones, keeping my chin down in taut respect. Only utmost servitude would save me tonight. Already my blood popped and fizzled with terror. My body wept achy tears at the thought of what would happen. The only thing granting courage to inch across the floor was the intoxicating scent of Mr. Prest and the warm heaviness of his blazer. I belonged to a beast, but if that was true and Master A was an animal, then Mr. Prest was the game warden. He was the master with the locks and the keys and power. He had the jurisdiction to whip such animals into submission, to starve them for bad behavior, and force them to behave against their base desires. I didn't know which was worse, the animal or the ringleader.
Get Mr. Prest's jacket off your worthless fucking body, Pim.
Master A snapped as I padded closer, making me flinch. My fingers rushed to obey, pulling up the immaculate lapels and slipping the expensive material down my arms. I mourned the loss of heat and comfort immediately. Mr. Prest held up his hand.
No, I said she can keep it.
His eyes turned evil as he looked at Master A.
And I do mean that. When I return in a few days, I expect to see she's still in possession of it. Got that?
Master A swallowed his rage, unsuccessfully hiding the anger on his face.
Fine. Good.
Turning his dangerous gaze on me, Mr. Prest murmured,
Until we meet again, Silent One, don't ruin my gift.
With a last lingering look, he permitted himself to be ushered from the White Mansion. The way Master A kicked him out offered no respect or politeness. The way Mr. Prest stalked outside extended no gratefulness or acceptance. Battle lines had been drawn, and I had an awful feeling it'd been because of me. I hadn't instigated it. I wasn't a spoilt girlfriend flirting with her lover's acquaintances to cause problems. I was just a girl begging for a quiet existence, wishing to vanish so she never had to see another male again. Rage from both of them plated together, buffeting my body as the door slowly swung closed. Rage that would earn me broken parts, and salvaged parts, and parts I wished would just give up living and perish. Breathing through an oncoming panic attack, I kept my eyes in the final sliver of the driveway. The last thing I saw before everything dissolved into a fit of agony was a terrifying stranger and his powerful back as he walked away. Pimlico. The moment Mr. Prest left, I drifted toward the corridor and staircase. I'd played my part. I'd been the pawn in Master A's business transaction. I was done.
Opium.
Master A's taunt rang out behind me.
Where do you think you're going?
My back straightened even as adrenaline shot down my legs. Every instinct screamed for me to run. Run and hide and get as far away as possible. But I wouldn't run. I never ran. Because running was a weakness, and I was many things. But I refused to be that. Cocking my chin, I gave him a look and continued my trajectory toward the corridor. The sound of his shoes on tiles sent carving knives flaying my spine.
You know not to turn your back on me, Pimlico.
Just keep going. A few more feet. My left hand splayed out to touch the door frame as I left the lounge and took a shaky breath. One step, two, three. My bare toes touched the first stair. My racing heart made me shudder as I clutched the polished banister.
Come back here.
Master A picked up his pace, appearing a few meters behind me. He cracked his knuckles, tilting his head in a well-known threat.
You didn't think you'd get off so easily, did you? You know you fucked up tonight.
His teeth shone savagely white.
You sat at my fucking table, you bitch. You ate my food. You enticed my guest. You were rude to me, and you know what that means.
Every step he took toward me, my cells bellowed louder to bolt. It was so hard to ignore. So hard I had to clutch the banister to keep myself in place. My poor knuckles popped with pressure. But I didn't increase my speed. No matter, he stood like a gun ready to fire, just waiting for me to fly away. I climbed the steps slowly, regally, with my head held high and silence draped like a glittering gown around me. I let myself down once tonight with my panic attack. The undermining terror that I couldn't control struck my fragile power at the worst possible time. To think the stranger had seen me that way, heard me breathless and blue. Oh, God. The embarrassment was new. I had no reason to value what another thought of me for so long, until him. But it didn't matter. He'd left. I'd never see him again. After what Master A would do to me tonight, who knew if I'd ever see anyone again? 7 steps? 8, 9? 27 more to go, and I'd be in my room, my jail. If I could get there, perhaps Master A would remember that I was his, not Mr. Prest's. Another man could touch me, use me at the discretion of my owner, but they would never take me away. Only I could do that by taking my life or his. My spine crawled with imaginary cockroaches, scurrying faster and faster. Master A ascended the stairs, soundlessly behind me. My ears strained, waiting for him to charge and pounce. But he never increased his speed, content to stalk me up the stairs, happy to see what I would do. He wasn't in a rush to chastise me. We both knew no other alternative existed for tonight. He felt as if I disobeyed him. I didn't agree. The pain would be the same.
Are you ready for another anniversary present, my dear?
His chuckle was rancid with malicious intent.
I think you're the one who owes me a present, after I let you sit on my couch. Don't want you believing you're worth more than you are.
The landing was so close. My speed increased just a little. He growled as my feet grazed the top step.
Running won't change what I'm about to do to you, Pim.
His oath shoved me forward like a phantom hand between my shoulder blades. It was no longer a battle between slow and quick, strong or weak, brave or meek. I was a warrior who faced combat head-on, but I was also a defeated soldier who wanted to sprint from enemy lines. Go! Instinct made me do it. The animalistic need to hide gave no room to argue. I couldn't stop my legs from breaking into a scurry, just like I couldn't stop my heart from tearing through my kick-bruised chest. I shouldn't. I'd be punished. I should fight my terror and drop to my knees like always. But I couldn't. Not this time. I bolted.
Pim!
He chased me, just like I knew he would. My brittle legs hurtled my skinny body from the corridor into my room. There were no doors to slam, no locks to secure. Even my ensuite had no barricade, no privacy offered at any time. I supposed I was lucky to have my own space, but it was just another element to Master A's board game of pain. No matter where I ran, no matter where I hid, he found me. Because he was God in this house, and I was merely his whore. My mouth parted with a silent scream as he appeared in the doorway, panting with angry sharp eyes.
I thought we'd taught the lesson of no running a few weeks into your stay.
Storming toward me, he growled.
Did that fucking prick somehow undo all my teachings the second he touched you? Did he? Answer me.
Every cell cowered. My blood dried up. My heart stopped beating. Melting to the tiled floor, I went one step further in begging. I didn't bow with my chin tucked and shoulders rolled. I threw myself entirely on the ground with my arms outstretched, as I'd seen monks do in deep prayer, pleading for mercy but knowing I wouldn't get any.
That won't save you this time, bitch.
My breath caught as he stomped on my left hand, twisting his foot so my skin pinched and did its best to spiral fold. I screamed in my head. Pain. 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 My silent scream was so loud it made my eardrums bleed.
You liked him touching you, didn't you? Don't fucking deny it. I know the truth.
He trampled harder on my hand, putting his entire weight on the tiny breakable bones.
You think I didn't notice? That I wouldn't see the way you looked at him? Fuck, Pimlico. You're mine.
I screamed again, drowning myself in the gonging sound of agony. But the room remained silent while he stomped again and again, doing his best to shatter delicate fingers.
Just because you won't talk to me doesn't mean I don't fucking know when you're lying to me.
Turn it off. Now. Fighting a rush of overwhelming nausea, I forced every nerve ending to withdraw deep inside. I did what my body had taught me. A mantra filled my head while the pain receptors in my hand switched off. After all, that was what pain was. A siren to tell me all was not well and that action had to be taken to avoid worse damage. No shit. Not all was well. I got that message loud and clear. I didn't need to hear it over and over. On or off. Click. Off. It didn't mean I could ignore the throbbing, bellowing agony ricocheting up my arm. It merely allowed me to compartmentalize and stay alert so I could preempt what came next. His shoe lifted from my hand only to pull back and jab sharply into my ribs. I fought the urge to curl around the new flare. It didn't matter that he'd kicked me only hours ago. It didn't matter that my previous bruises would become new bruises, which would bleed beneath my skin. All I could do was remain straight and prone for his abuse. I would blanket myself in whatever numbness I could and accept two things. Either I'd survive this, in which case I could nurse my wounds in private and finally give in to building sobs, or he'd kill me, and then none of it would matter anyway. Kill me. Get it over with.
Why won't you motherfucking speak?
He kicked me again, going for my hip, painting me with livid colors.
Talk, goddammit.
His sharp shoe stabbed my upper thigh, then my knee, calf, and ankle.
Say one word and I'll stop.
No, never. This battle was not new. I'd endured it many times before. However, he was more vicious tonight. All because of Mr. Prest. Damn him. Curse him. Never come back. Don't you ever come back. Turning his attention from my left side, he angled himself on my right, kicking my ankle, calf, thigh, and rib. At least my bruises would match. A Morse code dotting my flesh. Would it blare a plea for help, or would it repeat the knowledge that I was his to do with what he wanted?
You won't speak to me. But you spoke to him.
What?
You spoke to that fucking asshole who thinks he's better than me.
No.
You think you can lie to me? Even your silence drips with the fucking truth.
What truth? There is no truth. He kicked me with every remaining energy, landing squarely on my lower back and earning a deep-seated groan I couldn't control.
Ah, sweet victory. You do make a noise.
Crouching beside me, he wrenched my head, forcing me to look at him.
You wanted him, didn't you, Pim? You wanted his cock over mine. You wanted that sick fuck because he let you sit at the table and eat like a human, because he permitted you on the couch like a woman.
Shaking me, he spat in my face.
You aren't a woman. You're mine to be what I tell you to be. If I say you're a fucking flamingo, you stand on one leg. If I tell you you're a dog, you get on all fours and wait to be mounted. Do you get that? Do you?
I flinched, disgusted as warm, oozing saliva flowed over my chin. I am a woman, and I'm not yours. No matter how long you own me, I'll never be yours.
Those gifts weren't his to give.
Yanking me to my feet, he used my hair as a leash, guiding me from my room to his. I stumbled beside him, breathing hard, tears streaming that I didn't remember crying, all while holding my mangled hand. Every step felt as if I'd shatter into a billion pieces. I wanted to shatter. Perhaps then the agony would stop. My hand was broken. I didn't need a doctor to tell me that. He tossed me into his room, stormed to his bedside table, and yanked out the rope. I parried backward as he grabbed my wrist, throwing me on the bed. The moment I lay down, he tore off Mr. Press's blazer, wrenched down my skirt, ripped off the rest of my ruined polo, and smiled with victory.
I wanted to have fun tonight. Not every day is as special as a 2-year anniversary.
He shoved his face in mine.
But you had to fucking ruin it, didn't you? You had to get wet for that cocksucker as he swindled me out of millions. You had the audacity to let him touch you and like it.
Pulling back, he swiped shaking hands through the air. His shaking matched mine, but for entirely different reasons. I fought terror and the last dregs of strength I possessed. He was drunk on brutality and ready to deliver. Coiling the rope around his hand, he snickered.
You know what I just realized, sweet little Pim?
His arm lashed backward, bringing the rope hissing forward.
I realized that it's been too many months since I made you scream.
The first sting hit me square on the chest, granting a livid welt instantly. I clamped my lips together and stared at the ceiling. I would have given anything to roll onto my side and squeeze into a ball. I'd been with him for long enough to know what he planned. And it wasn't good. He whipped me again and again, tiny fibers of the rope slicing through tender skin like a filleting blade. Pinpricks of blood welled on my breasts and lower belly.
Remember that night when I broke your arm? You made the sweetest sound.
He grabbed his cock through the denim, before quickly undoing his belt and shoving his jeans to the floor. He didn't wear underwear, and his ugly penis sprang from a thicket of blonde hair.
When I heard you scream, fuck it turned me on.
Tearing off his t-shirt, he climbed on the mattress, naked with just the rope in his hands. I tore my eyes away. From now on, I wouldn't look at him. He would do his best to make me bellow. He would force me to watch, order me to listen to every depraved thing he said, but he couldn't make me stay. As his sweaty grip lashed my body to the bed and coarse rope bit into my wrists and ankles, I said goodbye to Pimlico and became Tamsin instead. I sank and sank. I returned to a happier